Welcome to the Sober Buddy Podcast, your boost of sober thinking and awesome life building. I'm Tara Zoe, CEO and co-founder here at Sober Buddy, and I am joined by David Mannheim, host of the Dopey Podcast on drugs, addiction, and dumb shit. Sorry, Paul. I'm excited to talk to Dave today about the big fat topic of fear in sobriety. But first, remember to download and subscribe to the Sober Buddy app, do some challenges, get some motivation, share screenshots of your sober tracker, and tell Buddy how you're feeling today. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Thanks, Tara. That was a great intro.
I know. I'm learning really so much from you.
That was excellent. Except that you cursed in front of Paul.
That's your tagline.
I know, but not for Paul. It's drugs, addiction, and dumb stuff.
Okay.
I'm not going to curse first.
Yeah. I don't believe that.
I'm
going to
make a big effort.
Okay.
I'm going to make a big effort.
All right. This is Dave's effort for this, is to not curse, because you're the one who got us in trouble. Yeah. We were doing fine because we were using baby words. You know, we were like saying like, you know, all the minor cuss words, but then you were like, hey, killer, here's your fucking coffee. Sorry, Paul.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I don't know. Maybe I like need to make up for you not cussing. It's going to be weird. What happens if I start cussing like every other word just because you're not?
I don't think I can make it a half an hour without cursing, number one.
Okay.
Secondly, I want to make a heartfelt apology to Paul, your father, Paul. Paul, I'm sorry. I never wanted to turn the world of Sober Buddy into a smut peddling universe of debauchery and cursing. So I want you to accept my apology in Africa, the heartland, the cradle of civilization, and know that I'm going to make a great effort. I'm going to amend my behavior by not cursing in this Zoom. And that's where I'm going to start with that.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
This is like a good penance. This is like your, you know, like when you do your Hail Marys, you know. Okay. Well, you probably don't know you're Jewish.
We don't do that kind of stuff. Yes.
You know, I wasn't Catholic either, but you know, we all know. Okay. Well, I want to talk about fear. Now, we talked about like how fear is a big thing. That seems to be like the number one thing people say when it's like, you know, when I'm thinking about getting sober, I'm just so afraid. So I want to talk about that. Like what are people afraid of? What's the number one thing you think people are afraid of?
Because I think fear is probably the instigator of addiction, of drinking, of using, because you start drinking or using to cull your fear. Because
right.
You have fear, you have anxiety, you have nervousness, you have social awkwardness, whatever. It's all fear. So like fear is everywhere around drinking and around, you know, sobriety. Fear of getting sober, it's like, I'm afraid I won't be fun. I'm afraid I won't have fun. I'm afraid no one will like me. I'm afraid I won't like anybody. I'm afraid I won't enjoy my life. I'm afraid I won't be able to live without it. It's just a litany of fears. I'm afraid that I'll be a different person. And what's the point of living if I can't enjoy myself? I think is I think I had that fear.
Yeah.
I think I had that fear really definitively, you know?
Right. Do you think that was like one of your big fears? I mean, and also I would think fear of like the pain of actually like going through withdrawal and all that too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was for me. I mean, I was addicted to heroin. I was terrified. I was terrified of living without it. I was terrified of going through withdrawal. I was terrified of really scared of living without weed. Like
right.
That was one of my biggest fears. Like, how can I manage without getting stoned? I'd gotten stoned every day for 20 years or more.
And
can I be comfortable in my skin?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like one of the great things they say around 12 step is you want to hear the big cliche thing?
Yeah,
that they say?
I want to hear it. Lay it on me.
It's kind of like a riddle. Okay. And I don't love this riddle, but some people love it. In fact, I have a friend who loved it so much, he tattooed this thing on himself. And I don't recommend that to anybody.
So just so you know, this can be powerful.
Don't tattoo AA things on your arms. Okay, so this is the phrase. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Fear knocked on the door. Faith answered. No one was there. Meaning, the other thing people say is you can't have fear and faith at the same time.
Oh, I see. Like, when faith opened the door, fear was not there. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
I was
exactly.
like, I don't understand.
And I'm not a religious person. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a religious person. So anybody who's listening to this and is like, who is this weird Christian Jew talking about faith? You know, that makes me uncomfortable. But I found that I needed to find faith that everything was going to be okay.
Right.
You know, like, and the fact of the matter is that everything will be okay as long as I, you know, in my interpretation, first of all, I can't pick up a drink. I can't do a drug. I can't do a mind altering or mood altering substance because I'm an addict. And if I do one, I'm not going to want to stop,
right.
You know, and my life will get worse. So if I first approach it, like by not picking up anything, that's like the beginning. And then if I make an effort to be good to people, be good to myself, be generous, be kind, all those things, I can have some kind of faith that those things will come back and that I'm a power of some good in the universe. And that's when, I mean, I still feel fear all the time, you know,
right.
I know that if I'm doing the next right thing, I'm going to feel less fear. Right.
I think it kind of goes like, it's like an offense defense thing. You know, if you're always on the defense, like you're just trying to avoid pain or you're trying to avoid fear, right? That is part of it, right? I'm going to take myself out of these situations or whatever, that's going to avoid it. But you're kind of leaving this void and putting yourself in this really vulnerable position where I think when you, go on the offensive, like you're talking about, like your generosity or like doing things to kind of put positivity, you know, like in the forward motion out there, then you're filling up that space, you know, you're filling up that vulnerable space and you're kind of being able to be on the offensive and kind of feel a little bit more power over your life.
Well, sometimes they say the best defense is a great offense, mm-hmm. or the best offense is a great defense, because you do this counterintuitive move and you're covered on the other side of it. I just noticed how horrible is my camera compared to yours.
I
have camera envy. Look how bad. I look like I'm underwater or something. It's like,
I have an amazing camera.
There's a gas leak in the room.
It was important to me. We've talked about this, about the iMac camera, like how I chose this computer specifically for the camera because we're on Zoom and all this stuff all the time. And I hated how horrible I looked in every like Zoom call or thing. I was like, I will pay more for the camera.
I swear to God, it looks like someone put Vaseline on my lens. They were scared that I looked too hideous.
You need to clean your lens.
Let me see what I can do there. It's not. I think this is just too old.
It's just older.
But I think I like your idea of offense, defense. And I think with something like fear, it's like in a horror movie. If you wait around for the monster or the killer to come and get you, what are you going to do? He's going to get you.
I'd rather attack.
Come up with a strategy. Well, I'm probably going to like, I'm not a big fighter, but I am a big fighter when it comes to this, you know, like when I know that if I don't take action, fear, neuroses, you know, I was about to curse, you know, squirreliness, you know, I want to just say to Paul, just if you know me, I would put the F word before every word I just said, and it would be much better and funnier. So Tara, I apologize.
I kind of wonder if we
Paul.
Should just
better call
this
Paul,
is for Paul.
You know?
This is for Paul. Now, do you feel like the F word thing is a New York thing, or is it just a Dave thing?
Yes, it's a New York thing. My mother said the F word. I mean, like my mother was a teacher for 40 years in the public school teach system, and she never stopped cursing at our dinner table. You know, just for emphasis.
Yeah, just for emphasis.
Emphasis,
oh my
comedy,
gosh.
You know.
My son, so my second son, but my third child, we had this rule in our house that once you got to middle school, you were allowed to cuss. But before that, you had to just pretend like you didn't know cuss words, right? But I'm like, I know in middle school, you just cuss at school and everything anyway. You might as well just do it at home. But he went off the charts. Like every word was a cuss. And I was like, okay, you're killing the effect here. And we had to have a talk about how cuss words are a beautiful thing, but you got to use them well. You got to use them for emphasis.
You need to use them properly.
Yeah.
Like, so. I go to 12-step meetings often, and I would be cursing like every other word, cursing. And I cursed for laughs.
Yeah.
I cursed for relatability.
Yeah.
I cursed for like shock value. And like, and then there's a guy who's actually going to be at DopeyCon, who's going to speak at DopeyCon. This guy, he's an older gentleman. His name is Smiling Joe. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, me too. I'm so
okay.
excited.
I'm excited to meet
but
everybody.
Smiling
at
Joe came up to me.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, it's gonna be a blast. and I don't know if this is gonna come out before. Is this gonna come out after DopeyCon or before?
I can make sure it comes out before, so that everybody we'll make this a plug for DopeyCon. Everybody go to DopeyCon.
Yeah, if you're listening or watching this, it's like DopeyCon. I've had an epiphany.
Okay.
That DopeyCon is going to be the definition of sober fun. It's going to be sober fun incarnate. It's going to be so much fun and good times and not cheesy. And it's going to be about sobriety. But Smiling Joe, this older gentleman at my meeting was like, Dave, you really got to try to curse less. You can't just be cursing in every share, like half the words I say. So I had a little time where I stopped cursing at the meeting, and my shares got like 70% less laughs. Like it just didn't deliver the punch that I like to get when I go to a meeting.
Some of those laughs might have been like secondhand embarrassment laughs, where like you were cussing so much that it was embarrassing, and like they were like,
right.
You never know.
That's possible.
That's possible. Although you're pretty aware of that.
That's
stuff.
Possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty aware of it, but it's possible. And so like, I think what you said about cursing is 100% true. If you can't abuse it, if you abuse cursing, you lose its beauty.
Yeah. Cause the beauty is that.
But I also think the F word, I'm with you. What's the beauty?
The beauty is that it's like a set of words that are more powerful than regular words. So it's like, it gives you an extra punch. You know, and if you use them all the time, then it's like you get used to them and they don't have that punch. So then what are you going to do, you know, to like make your language sound like if I drop a cuss word at my house, like if I like say something with a cuss word and my kids are there, it's like, ooh, mom's mad. You know what I mean? Like everybody back down. Or whatever. And it's like
serious.
It's serious now. Mom just got mad. You know what I mean? And I can just like drop one word to like just really convey how mad I am. And then that works. And I don't have to like even raise my voice. You know, I just have to say the word.
My wife does that. My wife does that occasionally. She doesn't curse in front of the kids, but sometimes she might use like the S word. You know, and then you know it's like crazy serious.
Right.
But I think in New York, the F word is like, it's like a lubricant to conversation in New York.
Right.
And
right.
Where I work, everybody says the F word before just about any nap. You know,
yeah,
effing
yeah.
pastrami, effing corned beef. Let me get an effing cream soda. What's up with these effing fries? You know, there is where's this effing guy? Like, there is no talking. What kind of effing place is this? There is very little talking where I work without saying the F word. So I was right at home immediately because I loved cursing.
Right, for sure. And I love
let's
that.
Let's get back to fear.
We're going
to
talk about fear. And I think this is what I want to talk about, fear. Now, are you scared with DopeyCon coming up?
I'm scared. I'm a little scared about some logistics, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. I have a few logistics that I'm not happy with, but I'm really excited.
Yeah,
I'm really excited because like I just did this thing in Utah that I told you about. And like, I had to talk in front of a bunch of people and I didn't know them. and they laughed and they liked it and whatever. Yeah. And DopeyCon is just going to be dopey freaks, you know, and they're,
so they already love you.
It's like, I could do, we could do anything.
Yeah.
They're coming because they love our thing. So I'm really excited to see them. I'm really excited to like see how it all flows together. Like I'm just psyched. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be, but I mean, like, I have a little bit of fear around some logistics, like, like one guy who's coming, I don't have his travel hooked up yet. I have some fear around budgetary stuff.
Yeah.
Like how many tickets do we sell? How many, we got less sponsors than I thought we were going to get. How do we, what's the in money, out money? We're not going to make any money on it, but like, we're not going to really lose any money.
Right.
So it's fine. It's going to be fun. But I have fear around logistical things that I'm not particularly comfortable with. I don't have fear around the social aspect. I'm just really excited to see everybody.
Yeah.
I don't have fear about the show aspect. I think the show is going to be pretty punchy. And I don't have fear about the, I'm excited. I'd say I'm 78% excited and 22% nervous.
All right. All right. You know, it's funny when you say the percentages like that, like our head developer will do that. He'll say, I'm 36.43% done with this project. And right. We'll go, all right, if you could just, and I am 28.9% satisfied with that answer. You know, so it's like this whole thing that we do. But so, okay, going back to fear, we have digressed on all of this. And I do feel, I feel like a little bit is missing when you're not cussing. I don't know. Like, I feel like we're missing, but
I can't handle it. Better call Paul. I don't want him being like this guy, this effing guy. Isn't, you know, he's now, cursing too much on our
that
show.
That would
like,
be powerful if Paul dropped an F-bomb. Never in my life, never in my life have I ever, ever, ever heard my dad say the F word. Ever. now I'm like wanting to get him to say, I don't. I've seen my dad mad. When I was a teenager, I was such a hard teenager. I was really.
I would have loved. I would have loved to have known you when you were a teenager.
I was great. Like I was really similar with my friends. Like I was like super social and everything, but with my parents, I just talked. I was just snarky. Like my mom has slapped me in the face hard twice. Right?
No way.
Okay.
Why?
Both times. Why? Because I was mouthing off to her, and both times it was so. Oh, that looks better. You cleaned your lens better. Both times that she smacked me, my immediate thought was not like anger or anything. Like my immediate thought was, oh, damn, somebody had to stop me. Well played. Like it was like I couldn't stop myself from mouthing off. Yeah, it hurt, but not like I've been punched in the face and I need to go to the hospital hurt. You know, like just, it was more like a snap you out of it thing. Like I was just like, nah, 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 you know, and I was just mean.
Snap out of it. Like,
and she was
like
just like, it was more like, it was, I deserved it. And I don't mean that like, I'm not a person.
What did you say?
I don't remember what I was saying. I don't remember what I was saying, but I was mouthy. I was just so like, I was probably being very mean. I used to be very mean to my parents. And they were very patient with me. My father was a therapist. My mom, it was a boundary. It was like, no, you will not treat me this way. And I don't, she was not like an angry hitter. Like she never like hit me or whatever. Like, you know, it was like that bad that it was like it drove her to like this place. But both times
you
I was like, well
every
played.
Line.
I crossed all the lines.
Smack you.
And all she could do. And I wasn't even mad at her. I was like, yeah, that was fair. Like that's how bad it was that I was being. But
really?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And at that time,
you never hit her back.
No, I wouldn't. No. My mom was not a mom that she was. If my mom said no, it meant no. And she, one time I lied to her and we're totally off topic here, but it's fine. One time I lied to my mother. It was a big lie. And I was,
what did you say?
I told her that I wanted to egg this boy. Like I wanted to throw eggs at him because he had like been mean to me the day before. But I needed to get eggs. And my mom, you know, she guarded the food. I was like, I'm going to pack these eggs. And she's like, And I said, it's for a science experiment at school. I'm in charge of bringing eggs. And she helped me pack them up, right, to take with me. And then in the process of me throwing these eggs at this boy, a teacher saw me. And it was after school, but she saw me and she called my mother. And I was in this like after school thing that I was doing. And I saw my mom coming across the lawn. Mm. And oh, she was raging. She pulled me out of this program and she made me quit everything. She took me out of everything. I was grounded for months. Like, you do not lie to your mother. You know, it was like this huge deal.
What did you tell her you needed the eggs for?
For a science experiment at school.
Like, what kind of science experiment?
I didn't have to elaborate. She trusted me. That was the problem. She trusted me and I lied. It was bad. Anyhow.
Now, let me ask you. I have some questions, Tara. Can I ask you a couple questions?
We've
here?
Switched it. So first, you're used to being the host. Here we go.
I just want to ask a couple questions.
Okay.
First question is, when you and Paul do topic podcasts, do you hear from the audience and they get something good out of it?
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. I just put the podcasts on there, but I don't know if there's a way to comment on it.
Well, we have to get, you know what you need to give them?
You have to train me better.
You need to give them an email to write you at. For Sober Buddy.
Like, okay.
You need an email and then you can call the audience the buds.
The buds.
Like buds.
Oh, like.
Like the Sober Buds.
Like, what's up, bud? They're buds because of the buddies. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Sober Buddy.
And then it should be like, write us at soberbuddy@gmail.com. Tell us what you thought about X topic or Y topic. Now, my first question is for you, because obviously you feel fear every once in a while.
I actually have an anxiety disorder.
Well, what is it?
What triggers my anxiety?
What's your anxiety disorder and what triggers your anxiety and how do you deal with it?
It's very on the surface right now. So I can't talk too deep about it because it'll trigger me. But I have I would call it, my trigger is a calamity trigger. Where I get into a dark place and I feel like everything's going to blow up. And then when I get in that place, I can't pull myself out without help. So I always have to reach out. So, because I can't get out of it. I've recently been dealing with it in a new way, and that has helped me to pull out of it, but I've had incredible support around me. So the way that I'm dealing with it now is to burn through it, which is a very scary process. So you actually, instead of running away from it, you look it down and you go through it. So that's how it would feel emotionally.
Who do you reach out to?
I have my family. I have a support group in my family. Yeah. Sometimes I've reached out to my dad. Some, you know, I have good friends. I have my mother. My dad is a trained clinician.
I think like,
so it helps.
I think that, that's like a huge strategy though. And I think that's a perfect strategy for dealing with fear is having a network and being able to talk to people and not being alone with it. You know, one of the other great cliches is we're only as sick as our secrets. So like when we're not talking to people, fear can run wild, you know?
Yeah. And fear is powerful.
Go ahead. It's horrible. It's horrible. And it can be totally petrifying and isolating. And that's why, like, when you talk to a network, you know, it undoes a lot of it.
And seeing other people struggle with it too, I think is a huge thing. Cause I think a lot of people can feel ashamed of it, being ashamed of being afraid. I know for me, it was really hard to reach out the first time. And the only reason I did is cause I was literally in an emergency state where like I had to go to the hospital.
Well, I know a lot of people who are struggling to stay sober, and they're also struggling to pick up the phone.
Right.
You know, I mean, one of the greatest things that I learned, I mean, I was always incredibly social and communicative, and I've always had a group of friends, but when I got sober, my old friends didn't really want to talk to me. You know what I mean? Like, they weren't really available to me. My parents were pretty tired of me. My daughter's mother didn't want to talk to me, and my friends kind of kept me at arm's length. So I had to make new friends who were in the struggle, just like I was. And it was creating a sober network out of nothing, because we all needed it. You know, they were strangers until we decided to use each other as a sober network. And we hung out like hardcore for a year or something.
Right.
And it's like building a nucleus, and then you can branch out off of this beginning, but you have someone to talk to and someone to relate to. And that's very powerful, but it's also dangerous when you hook up with people in early recovery. And I don't mean sexually. I mean, even when you just hook up with them, like as friends, like they can go out, you know, those two guys that I hooked up with in early recovery. And again, I'm going to say not sexually, we became friends and we hung out every day. And then they both went out, you know what I mean? And so then I was alone. So you want to have somebody who has some time. You want to, like, I suggest, you know, really putting work into the network and making the network as big as possible and interconnected as possible.
Right.
So that if you lose one, you still have something else.
So if you're
and
afraid,
then there's what were you going
to
say?
So if you're afraid, I think that this is good to say, like, what do we do if we're afraid? You know, and again, even without fear and any other thing in recovery, like, we know that the group, the support group, is what works.
It's also bigger. It's like you try to break a stick, you break the stick. It's very hard to break a group of sticks because you're united. You stick together, and one of you is feeling weak or fearful. Maybe another one of you is feeling good. And that's a lot. That's a lot of, there's strength in numbers, and there's also strength in experience, right? The greatest thing I ever heard about fear, it's my favorite line, which is, it's hard to think yourself into right action, but it's easy to act yourself into right thinking. So what I get from that is, like, if you're stuck in your thoughts, like, you're going to probably stay afraid, and you're going to stay F-U-C-K-E-D. You know what I'm saying? Whereas if, does that count? That doesn't count.
No,
right?
I don't think so.
Whereas if you take action, everything changes. And even if the action is walking around the block, walking your dog, calling your dad, calling your friend, go grocery shopping, make yourself dinner, watch a movie, anything to change the cycle,
right?
So that your
looping
brain isn't swirling, scared, horrible. Instead, you're focused on the thing you're doing, and then all of a sudden, you have a chance to have a reprieve from the fear, and that action gives you a chance to change your thinking.
I think that's incredible.
It doesn't have to be like major action. We're talking tiny actions, you know. And I didn't make this stuff up. I hear about it from people with more time than me, you know, and they saved my life. And now I get to help other people, which is the other amazing thing. If I'm helping other people, the odds are I'm doing well. You know what I'm saying? If I'm not helping other people, who knows what I'm doing?
You know what
I mean?
Yeah. There's something in that. It's like the best way to learn is to teach, you know, kind of a thing. It's when we're helping other people, we're helping ourselves simultaneously. Because we hear ourselves talking.
Right. And we're out of this, and we're out of our heads.
Right.
If you're helping someone else, you don't have to be stuck on your fear, on your self-centered fear, your neuroses, whatever, your anxiety. You know, like, it's amazing what action can do, and even just tiny actions.
I love that, like, having an action or even just having something to do. So, like, when you get into a space, it's like, instead of, you need to know what to do. You know, you're like, I'm panicking. What do I do? What do I do? I don't know what to do. I can't tell you how many times I've felt that way. And I've heard other people say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And it's just like, just move, like get into action. And I like that. Just do something, you know?
Anything.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, like you asked me how scared I was about Dopeycon, right? Last night I had this kind of blast of fear mm-hmm. around a couple of things. So I can't sit with fear.
Yeah.
So I called somebody up and I started talking to him and he couldn't talk. So I reached out to somebody else.
Right.
And by the end of it, I try to have people that I can bounce stuff off of so I can understand what, you know, like you have a dysmorphic thing in your head when you're feeling anxiety or neuroses.
For sure.
So when you talk to someone else, you can get a much more realistic picture, you know, and that's really helped me last night.
And a shining light on it.
Really.
Yeah. Cause I think fear is like that monster in the dark, you know, it's the fear of kind of like what's going to pop out at me.
The unknown.
Yeah.
You don't know what it is.
Right. Right.
And I need you, Tara, you need to make a sober buddy email so that the sober buds out there
can reach
out to you and tell you.
Yeah. Tell us how you feel. You can email us at hello@yoursoberbuddy.com.
Hello@yoursoberbuddy.com.
Yeah. Email us, say hello@yoursoberbuddy.com and just tell us about how you're feeling about the podcast. Tell us about fear. Tell us about what you want to know. What do you want to know? What do you want us to talk about?
Let Tara know how good she looks with the new iMac camera.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I feel a little accused here of like, you're the one pointing out the camera, Dave. It's not my fault your camera's not good. So anyhow, legitimately, I don't every single person I've told that this is because of the iMac, I have no special lighting in my office. Now I do face a window. So like the light's towards me.
Sunlight. Yeah.
But
yeah, that's good. That always works.
But it's, every single person I've told has said, I'm getting the iMac because of how good the picture looks. So it balances the light. I don't know. It makes your, it looks way better. Like it makes your skin look clearer. You know how if you're on like an iPhone, it's like all of a sudden you look all blotchy, you know, and it's weird. So I'm always like trying to do my filming on this.
I look amazing. Don't I look amazing on the iPhone? You know.
Dave, you know.
It was funny the other day. What?
Go ahead.
The other day we were doing, me and Tara and some folks were having a little Zoom, right? And then later, I think I reached out to Tara because I had some fear about something and we were talking about something.
There you go.
And Tara was like, Dave, did you stop dyeing your hair? Because you look great. I'm like, I never fucking, oh, darn, I haven't, I cursed. Did you hear me?
You broke it.
I cursed. God damn it. But no, I never dyed my hair. I can't even believe you said
okay,
that.
Okay, well, I didn't think you dyed
your beard.
I didn't think you never looked like you dyed your hair, but your hair looks decidedly more gray. Suddenly,
right, ready? You're ready Everybody for the look. Big reveal? Hold on.
See, it's super gray, right? And it wasn't like that before.
Know.
But then you told me it's just longer, which makes sense. But yeah. I like it. I told you that. Why did I tell you that? You have to tell him why I told you that.
Because you were like, I think you look incredibly attractive with your gray hair.
I was like,
David,
you got this sexy thing going on. Yeah. So I said, Dave, I like it.
Yes.
It looks good. Yes. And I think you should keep it that way. And that is why I told him not to say.
And that's why I will never go back to my barber again. I'm done with him.
He's like a mountain man now.
Yep. Just gotta move to the mountains.
Well,
you see, I cursed though.
I didn't make it, Tara. Right at the end too.
I know.
Because I have another interview. I have another podcast interview I have to jump on. I know.
They will not be as good as me. Who is it?
It's Chloe. It's Chloe LaBranch.
Oh, please say hello. Tell her how excited we are to have her at Dopeycon.
Yes. I'm gonna meet everybody cool there.
Oh, yeah. Chloe's awesome. Chloe's really funny. You're going to have fun.
I am packing up the stuffies, by the way. I keep saying that, I know, but I finally got them out of my office to my house. So because that's where I have like all my shipping stuff. to send to you for DopeyCon. Or send ahead.
I cannot
I'm sending
wait.
Them to myself, but ahead. So
I cannot wait. We're so excited.
It's going to be, super
be
fun.
Incredible.
Now,
no
when
fear.
It arrives, when All it right. arrives, when this box arrives, don't start stealing buddy stuffies.
I'm going straight to Chinatown. I'm going straight to Chinatown. I'm going to set up a table, sell them, make a video.
Make a video.
Make a sober buddy video.
As
selling,
long as you make a video.
Selling the stuffies in Chinatown.
We're fine. Yeah. Well, anyhow, yeah. I think
done.
It's been incredible today talking about fear. I love what you said about action and getting into action and how that stops, you know, kind of the fear cycle in your mind, which I think is key.
Agreed. I mean, and I would say how brilliant I am, but somebody said it to me. And I love to say it to other people because when I understood it, like I used to hear things like that and I'd hear nothing. And then when I finally started to understand it and can put it into action, like it was just the greatest thing. And then I can tell people, and I know some people hear me say it and they don't get anything. And then other people who are ready to understand it, they can do something, which is how it is. That's how it goes. You can't get it all at once. You condition yourself one way. It's going to take time to uncondition yourself, you know,
100%. For sure. But just so you know, anybody who's out there, that fear is a big thing. And that if you're feeling fear about sobriety, or if you're already sober and you're feeling fear there, or you aren't sober and you're afraid, either way, you're not alone. You know, this
you're
is
not
a
alone.
Big thing. And that one of the big things is reaching out. So find people you can reach out to, take actions, call people, go for a jog, whatever it is, just take an action, watch a show, pop your mindset out. And we're all going to get through this. We're all going to get through the fear.
100%.
If we can all stick together a little bit. Well, we're doing this as a micro podcast. So, our topic podcasts are shorter, but, I'm so happy you came on. I can't wait to talk about the next topic with you.
You tell me, I'm there. I love this. It's a good time for me.
Yes, definitely. Well, everybody else out there, remember that we think you can do it. You can make your life better than it's ever been before. Take it one moment, one day at a time. You have got this. Thanks for coming on,
You
Dave.
Also can take action. I'm not going to make a shameless plug, but you can take action with the Your Sober Buddy app.
You can.
There's so many action things in there.
There are.
So
well, that's
check
what,
that out.
Yeah. I love that you plugged my app. See, this is what you guys don't see is this is Dave training me how to podcast. Dave's like, all right, here's how we're training her. So yes, the Sober Buddy app, that's true, Dave. That would have been a great thing to say, is that all of the challenges are action tasks you can do. So if you're feeling fear, you're feeling anxiety, go on there and do a Sober Buddy challenge and it will help pop you out of it. All right. Well, until next time, thanks, Dave, for coming on.
Thank you, Tara. I had a great time and you did a great job. Really great.